They're going into the dog pound are the Browns. Barnage goes out wide left with Gabriel. Benjamin to the right. West in the backfield. Barnage motions to the left. Second and goal. Here's Hoyer giving. And West, a cutback five going in. Touchdown! Terrence West! Tight eye formation. They pitch it. It goes to Crowell. Left side. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! The Crow has landed. Hawkins moves to a tackle side. They give the ball to West. He's to the left. He's to the right. He's to the goal line. He's in. Touchdown.
He's in standing up, too.
Terrence West. Here's Hoyer on second down. They give it to Crowell. Slants left. He's got an opening at the five, and he goes in. Touchdown. Welcome home, Isaiah Crowell.
Well, between the Crow and Josh Gordon, this is a little more of an exciting offense.
They toss it to Crowell. He's slanting left. He cuts the corner. Open field, 20. Cut right, 15. To the outside, to the 10. Stay up. Here comes the Crow. Touchdown. His second of the game. And the Crow swooped and landed. 26 yards.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, joined now by ClevelandBrowns.com senior staff writer Andrew Gribble, and we're looking at the running backs today. Yesterday was the quarterbacks. Today we're putting the running backs under the microscope, and you can read Andrew's article about the position right now on ClevelandBrowns.com. Andrew, a position that I certainly feel better about headed into next year than I do about the quarterback position.
And you know what we're looking at, and especially it's the youngest position on the roster by far. You basically had a rookie carrying the ball in some way, shape, or form throughout most of the season, especially the second half of the year when Ben Tate was gone. And you know, Crowell and West had their ups and downs, but certainly just a bunch of talent there that you can work with going forward, and probably a position you don't need to address as much this offseason as maybe some of the others.
No question. You have two young guys, one drafted in the third round. You mentioned Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell. Both of them rushed for over 600 yards. That's the first time a team has had a tandem of rookie runners top the 600-yard mark since back in the 60s, 1967, in fact, for the San Diego Superchargers. So it's been almost 50 years, so a little bit of a rare feat there. West led the team, 673 yards, four touchdowns. Crow, 607 and eight scores. There is hope there, but you also saw, you know, two guys that need to continue to develop, and if they do, I think can be very good. And I thought we saw Terrence West go from guy who danced around a little bit too much early in the year to a guy who hit the hole much harder, certainly at the end of the season in that his return home to Baltimore. But Crow, to me, so talented, but he's a guy that needs a little bit of blocking up front. He's not as elusive. He's straight ahead, but when he gets to the line of scrimmage, he can put together some big runs.
Yeah, especially with Terrence West, he definitely had a rookie season. I mean, he had some highs early against Pittsburgh, and then he's inactive for a game because of his practice habits. Then he has the big fumble at Buffalo, but then he rebounds at the end of the season and kind of shows you why the Browns used that third-round selection for him. And then Crowell, again, he came in kind of under the radar because of what happened with him in college, and then he kind of had that great preseason game at the end, plays well at the beginning, then goes through a lull where he's not getting many carries, and then as we saw, that game in Atlanta I thought was one of the best performances we saw at that position the entire season.
For
I think the run there, the 26-yard run, was one of the better runs by any running back I saw in the NFL this season with all that it took for him to get in the end zone there. So again, it's just consistency, and the thing that Mike Pettine preaches is these guys have to consistently practice better. As we saw, that the competition never stopped at that position, and that's why you saw such a big fluctuation in carries from game to game.
I'm going to throw this out there just actually for both of you guys. Either of you can comment. The one thing that I think both of these young men need simply because of their actions both on and off the field and can happen because of my expertise of having been a rookie and of seeing, you know, multiple rookie classes come in there after me, is like a slice of humble pie. Anytime that you have, you know, you're a contributor in your rookie year and both of them had such successful seasons, some struggles, is you need to be humbled. And I think in this case, would it be adding a veteran simply maybe to create a little bit of competition, but also to some leadership, some guidance for these young guys? Because I think if you hand them the keys, you know, the same way we talk about Johnny Manziel, you hand them the keys too soon, you know, does their head get too big and they feel like they don't need to work as hard and continue to prove themselves?
You know, I agree with that because that's what they tried to do with Ben Tate this year, and it just didn't work out. You know, I think they wanted a guy in the room with those guys to really keep them humble, keep them working, and get them better. You know, and I think as Ray Farmer alluded to early last week, you know, this is the NFL where you're going from getting 25, 30 carries wherever you came from to now you're going to have to split carries down the middle. Maybe at best you're going to get 15 carries. Unless you're DeMarco Murray or someone like that, you're not getting 25, 30 carries a game. So you have to kind of fit into your role and do what you have to do to get in the field and be able to maximize those carries when you get them. Because if you don't, then you're going to end up in the situations like both of these guys did at points of the season where they're just not going to give you the ball at all.
I think I don't know that you need to bring in a veteran. I think when you've got a running backs coach like Wilbert Montgomery, who's worked with the very best, I think you're in a good spot here. And I don't think you need to bring in another mouth to feed, not to mention the fact that they do like Glenn Winston, the undrafted free agent that they got from via the 49ers this year, and Sean Drone, who came in at the end of the year, actually played a little bit, return kick. So I think they're pretty good about the running backs. Now, there are some good guys in the draft, but to me, you don't put assets at this position, and the Browns already have significant assets there in a third-round pick that they traded up to get with Terrence West, and then you not lucked into, great scouting, took a shot on a guy like Isaiah Crowell, who had the talent, maybe the most talent of any back in this draft, but fell because of off-the-field concerns, and now you have him. So I think you've got two good backs going forward. I don't think you need to kind of muddy the waters too much by bringing in any more high-profile talent. But I do think that you're in a pretty good spot at this position. I thought both of them, for rookies, did a good job in pass protection. That should only improve. I would like to see them both incorporated more as pass catchers. That's something that is not a part of this
offense.
And the
screen game as well, the screen game. To have the luxury to do that. We saw what it could do, you know, in multiple football games between the playoff games. That the perfectly called screen at the right time. I think Detroit had one late in the football game that got them a first down, 20-some-odd yards, out the backside. It's an amazing value. You know, Norv Turner, a guy that I played for that was here last year, the screens were a big part of his game. It just changes things up, especially as we saw as time went on. You would have thought it would have been built into our offense because we had a leaky offensive line. What's the best way to slow down some of those defenders? Hit them with the screen, make them retrace their steps, make them be cautious that you have that in your repertoire.
Yeah, and I think we can all agree they're both Crowell and West are certainly capable, I think, in the passing game. They don't look like guys that would have stone hands.
I want to see them in the open field.
And a guy like Sean Drone as well, that I think is where he would be able to be used because he's kind of that quicker, kind of scat back kind of guy. So it's certainly something they can incorporate more. But as we've learned, you know, the offense, the running game goes hand in hand with the passing game. And I think at the end of the season, we saw the passing game struggle and then the running game kind of followed suit and it just really never got going.
Well, there certainly are. And you could go back to Alex Mack. The team averaged more than 4 yards a carry in four of the five games with Alex Mack. And then as soon as he got hurt over the final 11, they did it just once. That was the game down in Atlanta, which, by the way, was, we said, the best running performance of the season. For this year, the Browns, 108 yards per game on the ground. That was 17th. 3.6 yards a carry, though, which goes to that point, just tied for 28th in the NFL, and that's unacceptable. That puts you behind the chains. They did score a lot of rushing touchdowns, 17th, 4th in the NFL. They scored more rushing touchdowns than passing touchdowns this season as they were dead last in the latter category. Seven fumbles, that was 13th in the NFL. So there is talent here. It is young. Now, one thing that they had all season was a fullback. They did not finish the year with one. I think that's something that they would want to address.
Yeah, and you wonder where you go with that because you don't see fullbacks drafted very highly in the NFL. You probably can get someone via the undrafted route if you want to, or maybe just off the waiver wire or something like that. There's a lot of veterans in the league right now.
That's where I would look to see. I mean, you got to figure to pay a veteran, his minimum salary with, you know, eight years or above is about $900,000, and just add, again, that might be where you add the leadership or the bit of guidance, to that room and simply not have it be, you know, the youngest room on this entire roster where we can use them. You know, hopefully he's humble enough to maybe contribute on special teams as well, but just add value to this roster. And I said, more so than anything, it's not so much I don't want an impact from that veteran. I want guidance and leadership for these two young running backs so they don't put, you know, their heads get too big or put, you know, too many, you know, kind of feet in front of themselves. And then it all kind of comes crashing down and they really have to face that humble pie in the middle of the season when they face some adversity.
It's just such a unique position to fill now because you look at college offenses, barely anyone's using a fullback anymore in college. So you're not getting guys that are really trained at that position. You look at New Orleans.
Like H-backs.
Yeah, for an example, New Orleans this year, they used Austin Johnson, who is a former linebacker. you know, he was a great linebacker at Tennessee. I covered him down there. And then all of a sudden he's a fullback and he's doing really well at that position. So you got to have guys that are able to adapt and maybe learn that new position. I think we watch Hard Knocks like with the Bengals. They were trying to retrain a tight end to be a fullback. So maybe the Browns could bring someone in to do that. Or maybe you get one of the few guys out there who can really play the position. Okay. I know personally from one guy I know covering coming out of Alabama, Jalston Fowler is a big fullback. They're probably one of the better fullbacks in college football. He's a guy that'll be at the Senior Bowl, someone to maybe watch if Browns go the draft route that way.
And the Browns originally tried to do that. Marquise Gray, the tight end, they wanted to use as kind of that fullback H-back, and they ended up ultimately releasing him. He went to Minnesota, ended up being released there, and went to Buffalo and actually had a big game against the Browns when they traveled to Buffalo in that loss. So running back, so ultimately you feel pretty good about it. You don't think it's not a position where the Browns, I think, would put that as their high priority need positions.
Yeah, I'd say if you look, you're ranking the positions on the roster, I would expect maybe this and O-line to be the most stable going into the offseason because what you have both contractually and what you have on hand as well. I wouldn't expect much moving and shaking there over the next few months.
That's right. Both those guys under contract for the next three seasons. All right. When we come back, Matt and I will hand out our grades about the running backs. We'll continue to take your phone calls, 216-578-0850, as we look at the position that actually was productive for the Browns for the majority of the season. Some big games from Crow, some big games from West, but ultimately you need more consistency, and they've got to get that yards per carry up over the 3.8 mark that finished just 3.6 mark, I'm sorry, that finished 28th in the NFL this season. That's coming up right after this on CBD.